What's up, good people? Oh, wrong voice. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the war room. The war room voice is a little, I don't come in as hot. Oh, the war room.
Well, we know mine has changed.
Welcome to the war room, everyone. I am Pastor Terrence Moore, and I am here with the rest of the generals.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alicia.
What up? I'm Cecil.
That was a good voice. You should feel confident in that voice.
I did. Amen.
Welcome to the War Room, Frontline Memphis's midweek service. We are dropping a little late this week just because we took Monday to really live the King's dream and dream it out. And so we took a little rest, took a little break. So calendars and schedules were shifted a little bit, but we're here.
Amen.
And we are going to discuss the word, the powerful word from Sunday. Pace yourself, walking in wisdom. So, thank you. It is actually a series. So we're in a Pace Yourself series, and I'm excited to see where God takes this series as a whole. Week one was walk before you run, and now we're talking about walking in wisdom, which is just always something we all want to do. Nobody want to be out here foolish, for real. And so we're in James 1, 2 through 18, and we discussed some things that we must learn about wisdom, things we must learn and understand about wisdom. And James is, Cecil, you and I, we were talking about after church how a lot of, like, stuff that James said, we thought, oh, that Paul wrote that. Paul, and then we realized, oh, no.
It tells you the author.
it tells you who wrote
it. James.
But it was so many things just in this.
Right.
In this scripture that I had attributed to Paul.
It sounds so much like.
Right, because, like, it's very poetic,
you
know, and it's very wise. And to me, that says Paul to me, you know. But James did his thug thizzle in this one. And in that, he talks a lot about wisdom throughout here. And we're especially focusing on patient endurance and just really enduring, being patient while you're enduring. And this really spoke to it. The first point that we had came from verse 2 through 4. 2 through 4 says, "Brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy," which is automatically something that we don't do.
Right.
Like, when trouble comes our way, we think that God is mad at us.
Yeah.
When trouble comes our way, we think we made a wrong turn. When trouble comes our way, we're ready to just be mad at the world. Right. But it says, no, you should consider it as an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And my favorite part of that is the let it grow part. Because it's like, hey, this is for your good. This is going to mature you. Let your endurance grow.
Yeah.
Let it grow. Like, it's if you say you want to go here with God, you want to go to this next level in God, then this is necessary for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we talked about how wisdom is seeing the storm all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead. I heard the breath. I was like, so I thought.
Well, no, I was going to say, I really love this scripture because, like, especially the part when it says, when troubles of any kind, like, right. Even that, like, he's already being very explicit in saying troubles are coming. Like, it's not a if troubles come, but when they come, then this is the behavior that you should have during the storm. So, like, I just appreciate the preparation so that it's not a off, like, you're not caught off guard. So all of this is like fair warning so that you are able to withstand when things do come your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I know we were talking about how, and this is one of the reasons why it sounded so much like Paul. This is the count it all joy scripture.
Yeah.
If you've heard that phrase, as most of us who grew up religious have, it sounds like Paul, and I just realized why it sounds like Paul's, because James, like most church leaders and apostles during the first century church, or like, you know, after Acts and all of that, they were preparing the believers for intense persecution at the time. And so that's why the language sounds a lot like Paul's language. But like what you said, when these are, we should be expecting things to get rough, first and foremost, because of who we serve.
Right.
Yeah.
We should be expecting persecution for our belief, for our faith.
Yeah.
Because everybody is not there, nor do they want to be there. But then when it comes to the natural, like, it, you know, we do the why God, why me stuff, and we just want to see the end, and we're not grateful for the storms while we're in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, God, I'm grateful for the times where you told me to walk to you and I started to sink. Mm. The times that I was feeling like I was drowning and I was able to look up and reach for the surface, because, you know, there's a cliche where you wouldn't know, like, had you not gone through it,
you wouldn't be who you are
right.
today. I'm with you.
So it is one thing that I've really been learning to do, and I don't even feel like I've been through that many personal storms lately. But when things start to get hard, I've just, even saying thank you, Jesus, or thank you, God, in the middle of, it's almost like a prayer and a rebuke at the same time, too.
Yeah.
But I am still understanding that I am being sharpened and strengthened and grown.
Yeah.
And this is, if I go into it with the mindset that I am already taken care of, I'm covered by God, then I can see the end of the storm and be grateful while I'm in the storm.
Yeah.
And you said something real good, like when you're in that storm, and just that's a good thing to do, to say thank you, Lord, thank you, God, because when you think about it, there are so many reasons to be thankful in that moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, thankful for the moment. I'm thankful for this opportunity to grow,
which
is what James is alluding to.
Just a different perspective.
It's a different perspective. I'm thankful that you're here with me to go through it, God.
Right.
You know, I'm thankful that this is evidence that I am on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is an opportunity for this to grow. That means that I'm at another level.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say every time you're at a new level, you got to go through a different storm. I mean, because I don't know that to be fact.
Right.
But what I can say is, when we do experience a storm, as James said here, it is an opportunity for growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for promotion, a promotion in your mindset, a promotion in your spiritual walk, a promotion in your faith. It grows you in growth, a promotion in the amount of trust that you have towards God to handle situations, to be there with you. Like, you now have, you're going through something with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you just think of the relationships think about relationships with your friends, you know, and you got stories where, oh, that was funny that it happened.
Right.
You know, you can you laughed in the beginning of it, you laughed through it, and then you're laughing at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have those stories where y'all were scared.
Uh-huh.
Y'all were in the moment. You were scared. You didn't know what was going to happen. It was fearful, but now you can laugh about it. Mm-hmm. Now you can talk about it with joy. Yeah. You can do that with God now.
Yeah.
God, we have a shared experience now. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, God, that storm was... That was a big one right there, God. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you were with your boy because I almost didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Like we should look at God as a friend like that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. This scripture though, it just was so much about this scripture because if you were to read it in the natural, it doesn't make sense. Like nobody is going to rejoice because they're going through a storm in the natural
right.
where you're not
yeah.
able
right.
to see
yeah.
the spiritual aspect. So like it really made me want to look into like especially the fact that he used the word joy. You know, because a lot of times, like, it's a difference. I Google, like, what's the difference between happiness and joy? You know, because a lot of times we try to use them synonymously, and they're not the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, like, what it was saying was that, like, to be happy is an emotion. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, that's the type of thing we look for is, like, when we're going through a storm, we feel like our world is over because we're acting out of emotion mm-hmm. about what's happening. Now I'm sad. I'm, you know, I feel so down about everything that's happening because it's not going my way. But that's just an external emotion that mm-hmm. isn't from God in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, and it talked about how joy was more so of an intrinsic attitude.
Mm.
You know, and it said that joy is... It's internal, selfless, sacrificial, and a spiritual connection with God. We need joy in our lives just as we need the Father and Jesus in our lives.
Mm.
And how it was, and it was saying more around how like joy can live within emotion. So it's like when you have an emotion, most times you're either happy or you're sad. It's like one or the other
yeah.
type of thing. But joy is one of those things where I can be upset, but I can choose joy.
Right.
You know, it like overrides the emotional aspect of it. And so that really made me think that's why he used, like cleverly used the word joy, because mm-hmm. it's not about you being happy. It's about the lifestyle that you're choosing to live with God, knowing that God will forever keep you. And that no matter, even though you're in the storm, you will never be separated mm-hmm. from him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's good. That's good. And it's also a fair point to make, especially that last point, no matter what, you're never going to be separated through
right.
from him. That's something that we have to keep in mind mm-hmm. because we're talking about walking in wisdom.
Right. Yeah.
And so if wisdom sees the storm all the way through, then that means you're walking through that storm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're not rushing through the storm. We're not rushing the process. We're not getting off the path. We have to understand that if we are doing this, we're doing this with God.
Yes.
And that means we're going to have to take our time.
Yeah.
Hey, it's going to get wet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lightning's going to strike. It's going to get loud.
Yeah.
But you're walking with God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking with God. And that's just, I think that's something that as believers, we take for granted all too often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? That we are actually walking with God.
Yes.
Like I'm sorry. That's something that I truly believe that God is with me at all mm-hmm. times. And I believe it because when I say something that I'm not supposed to say, mm-hmm. or I think something that I'm not supposed to think, that the conviction is quick.
Yeah. Yep.
It's quick. It's a lot quicker than it used to be. Right. Because in my earlier walk, God was with me, but I wasn't with him.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wasn't with him.
Yeah.
But now that I am with him and for him, his presence is all the more.
Yes.
I feel it
it's a lot strong.
More than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It back then it was easy for me to say like, God sees everything, but he ain't with me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But the more serious I got about my walk and my relationship with God, it's like, no, he with me and I'm with him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When you see him, you see me. When you mm-hmm. see me, you see him type thing.
We see each other.
We see each other.
But that just speaks to the choice of it all, though, too.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, and I think that's part of it, too. Like choosing, that word is so real. Choose joy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but go ahead.
You were talking and I was just thinking about how, you know what, that's so right. Because when you were happy because of something or sad because of something, those terms and feelings and emotions are reactionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you like choose joy, but it's like when they say words like sorrow,
mm-hmm.
they talk about wallowing in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, feeling it's more of an ongoing thing
yeah.
and
yeah.
something that you like have stuck or rooted mm-hmm. yourself in. Mm. And so that's like really interesting that you said that, because I'm just thinking about like when you hear those words, you know, as opposed to happy and sad,
yeah.
those are very reactionary words.
Yep. Yeah. It makes me think of how people say like because of and not in spite of. So uh-huh. like yep. happiness and sad is a because of emotion.
Right.
But joy is in spite of what's happening,
right.
this is what I'm choosing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, because, you know, in spite of and despite. In spite mm-hmm. of, though it's like, though you slay me, I
yeah.
will still, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Yep.
All right, we didn't have vocabulary lesson.
Hey,
that was good. I like that.
Yeah,
that
the word uses words and the word is good.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But that does bring us to our next point, which is wisdom understands its source and is faithful to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in verse 5 through 8 where it says, like, you can ask God for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
If you need wisdom, ask him.
Right. Yeah.
He's not going to turn you away for asking him a question
mm-hmm.
because you are going back to the source
mm-hmm.
yeah.
of wisdom. And that's what wisdom understands. Without God, I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Without God, I'm out here freestyling and I'm just lucking up on things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But with God, when I actually consult him, then I am moving in wisdom. Because the wisdom is not coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from his word. It's coming from his mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, right? And then it says, and it's faithful to him. So that means when I'm looking for wisdom, I'm going to God or to godly people.
Yes. Right.
I'm going to God or to godly people.
This one was good because this is when you brought up how we have to make sure we're going to the actual source of wisdom and not a source of knowledge
mm-hmm.
or a friend that knows how to preach to our preference.
Yeah, check your yeah. wise counsel.
Yes. Yeah.
In quotations.
Yes, because I mean, because that we might not say we're doing that, but when you're going through and you already kind of have your mind made up,
yeah,
you go to the people that you know are going to side with mm-hmm. you.
Right.
And hopefully within your circle, everyone can be honest and be wise mm-hmm. counsel. But if not, hopefully you at least got one person that is right. wise
yeah.
counsel.
Yeah.
And normally it's that one person in certain situations that you know going to tell it to you real. You don't call them.
Right.
Right.
You wait till you've yeah. gotten all the support yeah. and amens yeah. from everybody else so that if it does come up to them, it's like, well, such and such already said it was a good idea.
Uh-huh.
So. And you can dismiss it
mm-hmm.
because you know you already, you want to be in line with your flesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so you need agreeance for your flesh to be like, yep, this is what we're doing. You right. And so that's just so good, though, because you always do need to check the people that you're interacting with and then check your the desire of your flesh as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you should want, like I remember when you were talking, maybe think, I don't want to be coddled. I want people to tell me the truth because we should be wanting to grow and mature
right.
every single day.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I don't even want to be the same as I was yesterday.
Come on.
I don't want to be the same as I was this morning. Like every moment, every second of the day where God has given me opportunity, I want to use it wisely. And part of that is growing and maturing mm-hmm. and developing.
Yes. You want to know one of the most frustrating days in my grown adulthood? Is when I realized that the people who I actually call friends are not yes people.
Yeah.
Mm.
I was like, no, I need somebody to be on my side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need somebody to be with me. I'm talking about friends that I just met from work.
Mm-hmm.
Friends that I've known forever. BK ain't never been no yes person, but my wife, my brother, like mm-hmm. nobody is, they're not going to tell me, yeah, that's a good idea, because they...
If it's not.
Yeah, if it's not. But just to please me or to make me feel better, no.
Right.
People tell me when I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know the type of people who tell you that you're wrong? It's people who do not only know you, but they know your purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
They know your purpose. They know the mm-hmm. character that you are after.
That's the one.
And those are the people who will tell you that you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who, when you write, you write. And when
yeah.
you're wrong, they correct
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
Because you said something about how we have these friends who preach to our preference and not preach it to our purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like I want someone, and a lot of my friends, even those who are non-believers or, you know, not religious, like the ones who, like, I know when somebody is just telling me what I want to hear, and it actually makes me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. To hear, like, if you were somebody that actually really wants change and really wants to know, like, because I don't want to be out here looking foolish.
Right.
You know, even to a fault, sometimes I can be a little, like, bit of a perfectionist about some things. And I don't like looking stupid, and I don't like being out here being wrong.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the part of that, we can go into how some of that is just pride, and that, you know, I need to work on that. But those people who preach to my preference, I know when I am leaning too much or going to them too much for counsel, then my heart is already not right. Yeah. I'm already out of order. I'm already out of God's purpose for my life, because I am not looking for you to tell me. I'm not looking for you to challenge my spirit at all. I don't want you to speak to my spirit at all.
Yeah.
You know, like we were saying, like, just tell me what my flesh wants to know.
Right.
You know, but the reason, you know, my skin, I can say things like people who say yes to me all the time, or like, you know, who like speak to my preference. The reason my skin crawls is because, you know, this flesh on top of what my spirit is and what I really want to, they don't fit together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why you have to make sure that we are going to God and to godly people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, one thing that I'll say God is still working on me with is not being that person.
Mm. Oh, that just tells people what they want to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's not even I'm telling you what you want to hear, but I'm letting you talk your foolishness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because sometimes I'm not going to say we, I'm going to say me, because Terrence is talking about Terrence.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can get either comfortable or uncomfortable.
Yes.
I can get too comfortable and let you talk your stuff and be like, "Ooh, you a fool. Ooh, you a fool." Instead of saying you really shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I treat some conversations as entertainment and not as ministry.
Mm. Yeah.
As soon as I see it going left, I need to change it to ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not watching television.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real person in a real situation with real thoughts who really believes in God. I check people who believe in God, but I don't know if they believe in God or not, but I just let you talk your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm being entertained by it, and that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is a fresh conviction that I got while we were just talking about this. And then there are times when I'm just mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah, passively
mm-hmm,
listening.
Just passively listening,
yeah,
because because it's one of those things where I want to correct you, but I want to correct you in love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And are you in a place to receive what I have to say?
Yeah. Right. But it's also wisdom, though, because you have to listen to God to know if people are going to be ready to receive. Because if it's done out of order or out of his will, then it becomes judgmental.
Yes.
Okay. That's
a good point.
That is a very good point. Look, I'm thinking about a specific situation, and God is just bringing it back to my remembrance. But you're right. It is because you don't want to be judgmental. You want to do in love. But we have to remember love also corrects.
It does.
It does. And I know what you're saying. And I know that, like, that push and pull, because I, like, someone who always seems like I want to challenge you more, like, or say something that, you know, you like that disagrees with you more. And then, so in order for me to not be that, I'll go the other extreme, and I won't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's a form of shutting down sometimes. But also, I think it has, like, you have to pick and choose your battle. You don't have to assert, and insert your opinion with everything.
Every
but
time.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
With, like, there are moments where you do have to be bold, and you have to speak with boldness, because if someone is out of line and out of order, and they are passing off, if they're a believer, and they're passing off what they're saying as word.
Yeah.
When they know better. And, you know, and I'm talking about myself too, because, like, you know, that needs to be challenged, because if you are letting someone speak these things and put it out there as if that is God's plan for their life.
Yeah. Mm.
Then you are letting them live in sin, and you sitting there listening to it. You like Peter to die in Christ.
Come on. Yeah.
It's definitely a delicate balance.
Yeah.
Which
it
I
is.
Think goes back to the point is that, that wisdom understands its source.
Right.
And
bring it on back, baby.
Right. Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like in everything, the wisdom is going back to God. If you find yourself in those situations and you can feel the emotion of it, that push and pull, like Cecil was saying, then that's the moment to then pray and ask God to direct the words that come out of your mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, direct your attitude, how you're responding, your expressions, because people pick up on all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so that you have to be very careful in those situations because you want to make sure the message that you're conveying, whether it's through your words, through your actions, through your demeanor, is still representative of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and if in that moment isn't the time to necessarily say something, but you're building the foundation to where later on you can, because there are some times it's like conversations can happen, you listen, because sometimes people just need to talk. And then God will open up the door to allow it to come back where you're like, hey, remember when we talked yesterday? I just wanted to check in, or I just wanted to say, or I just wanted to, you know, whatever the case may be, but give the door and give the ear and the heart to for it to be received, whatever you're going to say.
That's a good point, especially if it's around other people and you don't necessarily need to have that discipling moment.
Yeah, now,
in front of other, like that, like, you know, that's not
like,
for...
It's like you're chastising
them. Right.
Yeah, that is a topic for another podcast.
Right.
But yes, 100% amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we're talking about uncomfortable situations, James actually moves into uncomfortable situations when we move on to verse 9 through 11, where it's talking about how the poor have a reason to worship God and to praise God, and then how the rich have a reason to praise God.
I love it.
And from that, we pulled the point that wisdom is content and finds worship in every situation.
Yeah.
Wisdom is content and finds worship in every situation. And I love it, but this is one that's hard to grasp.
Right. Yeah, it is.
It's one that's hard to accept when you are in lack, right? You're in lack, and it's not because of a lack of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm in lack, and yet I see somebody out here living foolishly and lavishly. And that comparison there is what robs you of your worship.
Mm.
It robs you of your now worship.
Yep.
Because now you have a if only mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when we look at the people who are rich and not living foolishly, but living for God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, instead of worshiping what I have, I'm looking at the person who's rich and in Christ.
Mm.
And now God is not the goal. That person's the goal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God, I want to have an abundance like they have an abundance.
Mm-hmm.
But what they, I like this scripture because, like, let's stop comparing.
Yeah.
Because just like, yes, you have your sorrow, you have a reason to worship.
Yeah.
And those rich people, why their reason to worship is so obvious to you, really, they should be worshiping and praising God because he is going to humble them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to be humble if they're still going to be godly and have all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the riches are going to fade.
Yeah.
The houses are going to pass away. Like all these things that they have are not going to remain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's harder for them to be humble.
Right.
And to accept and receive wisdom from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because why do I have to have, why do I have to be believing for a car when I could buy one?
Right.
Why do I have to be believing for healing when I could pay for the best doctors? Mm-hmm. We see things one-sidedly.
Yeah.
But this scripture is like, look, if you're poor, you have a reason to worship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sick, you have a reason to worship. If you're still waiting on something to happen, you have a reason to worship because you're here.
Right.
Right.
because God is still with you.
Yes. Keeping you. He kept saying that.
Yes.
I was so encouraged by that. Like, and I just, you know, in my head was just thanking God for how he has kept me through so many things. I may not be, you know, when the old folks say, I may not be where I want to be, or I might not be who I, you know, want to be, but I'm, thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Right.
It just, like, God, you've just kept me through so many things. Like, and, you know, like, I may not be where I am financially, but yet will I trust that it's I'm going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, I may not, like, yes, that's, amen.
Amen.
I don't have to add to that.
But, I mean, what you're saying is just still, it goes back to the first thing we read about, just having joy.
Yeah.
Just finding true contentment in life because God is with you. Mm-hmm. And it gives you that attitude of joy, gives you an optimistic attitude to where that no matter what it is, then I can always look towards God and still be encouraged.
Yeah.
Oh, what you said to this point, blessings should only confirm what we already know about
God. Yes, yes. Thank you, God.
And that was so good, because we talk all the time about, like, you know, just treating God like this big, we want God to show up and show out. Was that this past Sunday that we were talking about? Or was that, the like, where we got, when we were talking after?
I think we were talking after church.
Yeah. We, you know, we have the show up and show out prayers where, you know, not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but we want God to show himself strong and visibly show it. Like, we want the frills and the, you know, all the pomp and circumstance.
We
and whatever,
want burn
you know.
All this water
right,
up.
Right. Yeah. We want you to strike down our enemies and, you know, we want them, like, and make them an actual footstool or, you know.
It's like,
it's, but again, God's timing comes up, especially when we talk about pacing ourselves. And we have to realize that God has already seen our end and his victory through us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever we are going through in the now, in that time, God is, if he is keeping you in that time, he's keeping you for that perfection of, I don't know if I'm wording it right, but he's in the process of perfecting you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this goes along with, like, seeing the storm, seeing through the storm to the end. Like, there is a reason. There's rhyme and reason for why you are being taken through this right now. And even if you don't see it in your lifetime, you see it when God says to you, well done, and somebody else is looking through what you went through and how you lived your life. Because, you know, your struggle may be for the healing of somebody else, and God has healed you when he is taking you home. But other people saw how you fought and saw how you believed and saw how you never stopped believing and never stopped trusting and knowing that God was your father and you would be with him even when you got too tired to do it.
Right.
So we get to our final point, which was wisdom understands moderation and prevents corruption. Wisdom understands moderation and prevents corruption. And I like this because it's in verse, I think it's 13 or 14 through 17. And it says that God doesn't tempt us.
Right.
So stop saying that God is tempting you.
Yeah.
And then it goes on later to say all that is good and perfect comes from God. And what we have to remember, if God created everything, then everything is good and perfect. What is not good and perfect is when we when we have a corrupted desire for something. Oh, I was saying something. What was this? I forgot exactly how I put it Sunday. But the basically, the enemy
perverts. The enemy perverts what God has provided and tempts us to want it in excess.
Yeah. Yes. I think that might be you. I think
it is.
I don't think I said that.
You did say something about like the excess stuff, but yeah, I think
I think that, that. I think that was I think the Holy Spirit gave that to you. Well, praise God for that. But yeah, but that's what he does. He perverts our desires, and mm-hmm. he perverts the wonder that God gave us.
Yes.
You know, like how we want to explore, we want to see certain things, mm-hmm. we want to experience certain things, but the enemy comes in and takes what's good and perverts it. He perverts it and says, that was good, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. More of it is better. More of it is better. Like, oh, okay. Look what that person has. Yeah, you got this on your plate, but look what they got on their plate. Don't you wonder what that tastes like? Don't you wonder what it would be like to live in a house that looked like that? Don't you wonder what it would be like to be with, to have a wife or a husband who looked like that, who had that job?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you wonder what that would be like?
Starts to covet.
Yep.
And he perverts it, and then that is where sin comes from.
Yep. Cheap thrills cost a lot.
Yes. But knowing, walking in wisdom is knowing that God created things to be experienced with him.
Yes.
And in moderation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that in verse 14. I just enjoy the Bible because it can really like mirror check you. It's like, you know, you can try to read stuff and like, okay, it does say that, but it's like, no, like it kind of doubles down. So, you know, like this is you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like in verse 14, which is like, temptation comes from your own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death.
Yeah.
So like, it's very clear, like, don't get it twisted. Like we already said, it's not God.
Right.
But please be sure and know it ain't the enemy. It's you.
Right. Yeah.
This is what you wanted to do anyway. You gave the opening for the enemy to continue.
Yeah, you desired that.
You desired
and
it.
And you got to take accountability for
and
it.
That's, and that's the part. You have to have accountability for it as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because when things go wrong, when we do things that are, you know, reckless, the first thing, the enemy made me do it, or this is all the devil. Nah, boo, some of that's just you.
Right. Because if it was all just the enemy, then he'd be the only one punished.
Yeah.
When it's all said
and
done.
Yeah, you're still held to account.
Right.
For everything that you've done while you're here on this earth.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, I'm like, it's so good to keep that in mind, and that if you see in areas that you are living in excess, you know, regardless of what it is, then it's really a time to check those things because, yes, like Terrence said, God has given us everything to richly enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in moderation.
Right.
Because
right.
gluttony is a sin. Mm. And gluttony doesn't just have to be food. It's just overindulgence of anything.
Yeah.
It's gluttonous behavior.
Yeah. It God is just so good because like when you bring that up, like it's your desire.
Mm-hmm.
It's your desire. It's in you. You have the thought by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we are flesh. Mm-hmm. Right. And our flesh is going to desire certain things. But what happens is when you have that thought and you don't take that thought to God and be like, God, is it wise to think this?
Mm. Right.
But you let that thought just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you don't take it to God.
Mm-hmm. Then you start to explore it.
Then you start to explore it. And the enemy feeds on that exploration.
Right.
Yeah. He feeds on that wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is what we allow him to do when we don't cast down these thoughts.
Right. Yes, yes.
When we don't say, wait, God, am I even supposed to be desiring this?
Yeah. Mm.
Is this even for me? And does it seem like a lot of work to take every thought and desire to God? Yeah. But is it going to be worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if we were truly walking and talking with him daily.
Come on. That's the one.
Yeah, that's what I was just.
I mean, that's just part of. It's not a routine, but it's just part of your day. It's just part of like the relationship you have with God.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're also not having to ask everything once you become more in tune with the spirit.
Yeah, that is
with you, because you've disciplined yourself. You've, you know, like you all as a married couple, you know certain things about each other and how to like please each other from day to day. And you know,
just walk, just
It's Amen.
Pineapple.
Yeah, we know how to.
There are things that you can do for each other that you don't have to ask for. You know, like that you need to take the trash out here, or you know, like because you. That's just what you do. You know each other's love languages.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's what it meant.
Yes, I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant. But that was funny. That was funny.
I mean, but that's
we're all adults here.
Yeah.
But to even, like, just to know each other's love language, I feel like, you know, I mean, things are first natural, then spiritual. Uh-huh. In the natural, we spend so much time. Really, when you're in relationships, that's one of the top things in any marriage counseling, serious relationship. If you're doing pastoral counseling, they're going to recommend love languages.
Right.
Even if you're not in like Christian-based relationships, people are always focused on love languages because we use that as a barometer to truly learn how to appreciate our spouse.
Yeah.
And so the same thing is true with our relationship with God. Like we learn his love language and he also knows our love language.
Right.
Yeah. And so like that connection is what keeps you from stepping outside of things you know that will be harmful to your partner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like if I like Cecil was saying, I know certain things about Terrence, but I also know things that, you know, I know in moments when to bring up something and when not to bring up something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I can see his mood and behavior. I know when to push a little. I know when to let him just have a moment to himself.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I hear in his voice, his countenance sounds a certain way, I know when to do some surprise thing. But I've learned those through constant relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
But also though it's part of like restraint from sometimes it's like flesh wants to do other things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's restraint because I love you too much if I know that it's going to interfere
mm-hmm.
or cause you, you know, harm or to be upset or what have you. But the same thing, just as intimately as I know my husband, is the same way I have to know the Lord.
Yes. Right. It's a cultivation because you can overwork a field.
Come on.
You know? And you have to, like, that. I'm just saying that because you use the word restraint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to overwork your relationship with God, I guess. So that's different. But you know what I'm saying.
I mean, you can be overzealous.
Yes. Now, that's true.
Who are you? Depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You doing all this stuff. I didn't even call for you to do this.
Okay, how many times you say Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. But I just like how we keep bringing it back to taking your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Does bringing things up to God, does that take time? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're saying pace yourself.
Yeah.
That's why we're trying to make sure that you're not getting discouraged by understanding that it is a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that you're not going to master overnight, but you can take steps towards every moment.
Yes.
That is the main purpose of this series, that you don't come out the gate sprinting in this marathon.
Right, right. Right.
And then 25 steps in, think, I'm tired,
mm-hmm.
and this is not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want you to stay in the race.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We want you to stay in the race. This, I don't think I said this Sunday, but I feel like God is telling me it's okay to say it on the podcast. I wrote this down. Before we rush to action, we need to first walk in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that is if you don't get anything else out of this message, that's what it is. Before we rush to action, we need to make sure that we're walking in wisdom. That means so much
mm-hmm.
because think of the times that you just get on autopilot in your day.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I woke up 10 minutes late. I got to mm-hmm. hurry up and get out of here so I can make it to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rushing to action, but mm-hmm. not walking in wisdom. Because I haven't started my day off with God.
Yep.
I'm rushing to action. I got to hurry up and cook this because I'm tired. So I'm going to rush to action, and I'm not going to walk in wisdom so the food don't taste like it's supposed to taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I made a mistake. I burned something. I undercooked something because I'm rushing.
Mm-hmm.
These are light things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? These are things that aren't devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you have that mentality with the small things, you're going to have that mentality with the big things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rush to marry this person instead of walking in wisdom and learning more about them. Right? I'm going to rush and say yes to this job because the bills are here instead of walking in wisdom and seeing if this is the job that God has for me that's going to be peaceful and where I'm going to have longevity. Before you rush to action, you must first walk in wisdom.
Walking in wisdom. Sunday, every time you say walking in wisdom, tonight, every time you say walking in wisdom, I had that song. I had Walking in Memphis in my head. And so I was just like, this is the moment.
That was the moment? That was the moment. Did you bring that idea to God first?
I should have. I'm sorry.
I had my deep voice and everything. You must walk.
Right, right.
Not that it was an act, but I was passionate about it. It was like I was rapping it. Walking in wisdom.
Lord.
Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes, 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 there is. See, that's there we go again. Yeah.
See, see. And on that note, good night. Yeah. Thank you for joining.
Whoa, out of order.
Kidding.
Yeah. But hey, that's what the word of God does. You know, like we're deep in thought. Yes, we are conversing. We're talking, we're exchanging wisdom, but we're also having fun, y'all. Yeah. The word of God is fun.
It's fun. Mm-hmm.
This walk is fun. Mm-hmm. It's necessary. So we're doing it together, y'all.
Yeah.
We're doing it together and we're so thankful for you all listening in. Please continue to comment, continue to share, continue to like. We'll be back next Wednesday. We really hope that you all are continuing to be blessed by this as we continue to be obedient in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite podcast. I love doing this, and I'm just so thankful that God has me in a place where I love not only preaching the word, but discussing the word. So let's keep that discussion going. You know, keep that discussion going in the comments. Listen, we love you. We pray you all have a blessed week, and we will see you out there on the battlefield.